important bulletin from the United Press. Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National alert.
Becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird. The unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Here is a weird one, and some of you might really be happy about this in a twisted way. It may seem like the stuff of gothic horror novels, but transfusions of young blood could indeed reverse the aging process and even cure things like Alzheimer's disease. Throughout history, cultures across the globe have extolled the properties of youthful blood, with children sacrificed and the blood of young warriors drunk by victors. It was even rumored that the North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il injected himself with blood from healthy young virgins to slow the aging process. But now scientists have found that, sure enough, young blood actually recharges the brain, forms new blood vessels, and improves memory and learning. There's a protein called GDF11 present in the bloodstream in large quantities when we're young, but it kind of peters out as you get older. So when you hear those stories about people like Countess Elizabeth Bathory, the most prolific female serial killer in history, who was torturing and murdering hundreds of virgins so that she could bathe in their blood and drink it and whatnot, it may be because long ago people definitely understood, sure enough, there was a benefit. So we'll see how popular this becomes with the new scientific data. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua.
You know, Forrest, we want to tell everybody that we are continuing in this process of making history, of spearheading technological advancements, because as we speak, I am sitting here hosting the show at the Bermuda Triangle Base Camp in Puerto Rico. I'm way out here in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. You are sitting there producing the show in the studio that you are now in the process still of constructing on the east coast of North Carolina.
Ocean Isle Beach, North Carolina.
Well, what's the name of the beach there?
Ocean Isle.
Ocean Isle, okay. And then in the western North Carolina mountain lair, we are joined by Miss Shelley Wright, investigator extraordinaire. Shelley, are you with us?
I'm here.
Okay, great. You see, now, it's not easy to do this. We've had some technical bumps. We're getting things ironed out, though. Forrest is still in the process of constructing his new studio there, and so hopefully over the coming weeks we'll sound even better and things will run even more smoothly, but it's amazing that we've been able to do this at all. So, Forrest, from here on out, you're going to be spending most of your time on the coast of North Carolina. Is that right?
I am.
Okay. And so, Shelley, how do you feel being there to hold down the fort and the mountains for us while we're out here in the middle of the water?
I feel good about it. I can handle it.
So Shelley, you are, again, you're at your secret lair there. Do you have any desire to go to the water like Forrest and I have done?
I am in the water right now. It is raining like crazy here. It's cold. It's windy. So, yeah,
really?
I am partaking of the water.
Oh. Well, you know, it's funny because I have this little story that I've just recently started feeling comfortable enough to tell people about because it sounds unbelievable. Before I get to the story, though, let me just mention, we didn't have a show last week because of a number of things. I was on the road. Forrest was getting things set up with his studio and having some mechanical things, technical things to work out. I, on the other hand, since we last did a show, I have gone from Puerto Rico all the way up to upstate New York, to Lake George, where I was a presenter at the Para History Con 2, and I was supposed to go to Lake George and then come back, but actually my trip got extended, and I ended up going from New York to Salem, Massachusetts, and then from Salem to Boston, Massachusetts. And I have some interesting stories I want to share with all of you, hour number two of the program tonight, about some of the things that I saw and experienced when I was doing that. But as if that weren't enough, when I came back to Puerto Rico, one day I woke up, and it was a beautiful, perfect day, and I just knew I needed to go outside and do something in the outdoors. And for this whole past year that I've been down here for the manning this base, because I've been back and forth between here and Asheville, but I've been setting up the base here for a year, people have told me that there is a mysterious cave down here that the pirate Roberto Cofresi would use to hide his treasure in. And what's funny is that this is not like some kind of a tourist destination. I mean, you can get on the Internet and look around, and you're not going to find much. Now, there are plenty of things that are touristy-oriented here in Puerto Rico. I mean, you've got, zip lines and tubing and bio bay and scuba diving and snorkeling and, all that stuff is here. Big tourism industry. But this is not something that's for tourists. I would ask people, where is this cave? And nobody could tell you exactly how to get there. They would say, well, you gotta you drive way down to the end of this road as far as you can, and then you're gonna have to trespass, and you're gonna have to slip over this fence, and then you're gonna have to find this path, and blah, blah, and you're probably not gonna find it, but if you do, it's gonna take you 2 hours to hike. And I even talked to a guy who has lived here his whole life, and he said that he even once hired a professional guide to take him off to try to find this cave. And the guide couldn't even find it. And he didn't get paid because he couldn't find it. Well, I knew that the chances were slim that I was going to find this cave. But Lauren and I trudged out there without any real knowledge of exactly where to go. And we found the cave. And we found a lot of other really interesting stuff that I'm going to tell you about and share with you. So as you can tell, I am brimming with so much to talk about. Can you guys believe that since we did the last show, all that stuff has transpired? It's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing.
Yeah. So Shelley, I'm gonna take everybody on the program tonight on this journey from the north, the far north, the Adirondack Mountains, upstate New York, all the way down back to Puerto Rico by way of Boston, the birthplace of the revolution. So, Forrest, have you ever been to the Boston area?
I've not been to Boston proper. I've been all around, but not to Boston.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I also made a stop at Lexington and Concord, you know, which that's where the very first shot of the Revolutionary War was fired. And
yeah, I've been to New Hampshire.
Have you? Yeah. So it'd be interesting to live in a day and age when you can cover so much ground in a relatively short period of time, and then sit down and produce a show like this, talking about it with three people who are in three different places. I mean, it's just one of those examples of the future is now. You know, we still don't have the flying cars, but the future that we have envisioned for so long, we're living through it right now, and it's pretty exciting. So I said I had a little story that I wanted to tell you guys that I have even hesitated to talk about because it sounds unbelievable. But before I get into that, let me just ask you, Shelley Wright. You said the weather has continued to be kind of wishy-washy there in Asheville, huh?
Well, we've had some gorgeous days, and we went straight into summertime. You would think that it was the middle of August. It was so hot. But we have had some rain. The last time we did the show, we had the flooding in the Woodson area. And then, the last few days we've had some rain here. And the temperature's been much cooler, but it's not bad.
And of course, this show is brought to everyone because of Wright's Coin Shop, your family coin shop in Asheville. You guys have been in business for over 40 years now, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
How has your business been affected by the weather conditions there, Shelley?
It seems like the nastier the day is, the busier we are, which is kind of good lately. Yes. When it's all hot and sunny, everybody wants to go play out in the yard and plant flowers and get a suntan.
Yeah.
But when they can't do anything like that, they come see us.
Well, that makes sense. You know, I have ghost tours that run in downtown Asheville, and a lot of times people don't want to go do a tour if the weather's kind of nasty, even though we have indoor ghost hunts that people can do as well. But it's good that you have a business that can benefit from bad weather, because recently it's been pretty sketchy there, it seems like, in Asheville. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a story about how a wish can come true, because it's a wish that I made that came true, and I'm going to explain to you how amazing that this process actually can be. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. We have a lot of good stuff for you tonight. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Stick around. This is Speaking of Strange.
Yeah.
Bermuda Triangle, the Isle of Enchantment, Puerto Rico. Hitchhiking the E.T. Highway, I am your host, Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren. And this is Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And you can call Wright's Coin Shop anytime, 828-298-5402. That's 828-298-5402. Or just go to speakingofstrange.com for a link to the website and all kinds of other cool stuff, a live chat during the show, weird news, and speaking of my tours, you can find a link to that, hauntedasheville.com, and when the weather's nice, go outside, take a tour. When the weather's not so nice, do an indoor ghost hunt. And also, I've got the Haunted Asheville self-guided tour app available for Android at the current time. So that's done very well, and I have new ones coming out soon. So I mentioned that I have a story that I've never really shared before on this program because it sounds almost a little too unbelievable. Shelley, you know our friend Dr. Mulder is an expert at building wishing machines, yes?
Yes.
And wishing machines are they're very strange devices. These are boxes that have knobs on them, and there's an input and an output, and they are designed to take your intentions, your wishes, and make them manifest. The box does not take batteries. You don't plug it into a wall. It's a mind-powered machine. And this type of technology in its current incarnation has sort of been around for, since the 1920s, coming up close to 100 years. And what's funny is that nobody knows exactly how they work. I mean, I can talk for hours about why I think that they probably work, and maybe we'll do that at some point someday. We started making these because I had many positive experiences with them, and we now have sold them to people all over the world, hundreds of people, and it's amazing to read the testimonials that people have about just crazy stuff that has manifested for them when they use these boxes. And now that I've been down here at the Bermuda Triangle base for the better part of a year, I wanted to share this with you, and it's absolutely true. You guys know how much I like the winter, right? in Western North Carolina, not very much. I'm not a cold weather guy. I was born in Asheville, lived in Asheville my whole life, and this past winter has been the first winter that I spent in a warm place. Okay, for the first time in my life, a winter went by when I didn't see a single snowflake. I got to a point where I was just so tired of the winter weather that I think something like 2 years ago, Dr. Mulder sent me one of these wishing machines. And I'm looking at the machine thinking, well, what do I wish for? And I said, you know, I would like to be in a warm tropical place. That's my wish. And so I got on the internet. I went to Google, and I just typed in tropical beaches, images, and a bunch of pictures of beautiful tropical beaches all over the world popped up. And I picked one out that I thought looked just perfect for me, and I saved it to my computer, and I printed it. And then I cut this little picture out of this tropical beach, and I put it on the wishing machine. And then I went through the motions of tuning it, which takes you about 10 minutes, depending on the situation, tuning it so that my intention would be directed and broadcast. And then I put it down, and I put it away, and I stopped thinking about it, which is what you're supposed to do. Less than a month later, out of the blue, I got the email from Michael Rivera, the man in Cabo Rojo, Puerto Rico, who said that he had sold his soul to the devil and there were voices talking to him in his house. You guys remember that story?
Right.
And worked out arrangements for me to go visit him. So I was more than happy. This is probably like February at this point. I was more than happy to go down and help him out with his problem. And while I was down here in Puerto Rico, I ended up meeting a realtor and looking at some places that were available, and found a place that I thought looked just like the perfect place to spend the winters. Okay, nice little gated community, swimming pool right next to the beach, right next to restaurants and bars and all this, and looked like that it was economically feasible for me to include this in my life. And so I did it, I pulled the trigger, boom, we made this happen, and now I had this great place to come to and spend the winter in the tropics. Well, here's the twist. This past fall, when I was in Asheville, I went into my office at my house in Asheville, and I was moving some stuff around, and I looked down and I saw the wishing machine with the picture of the little tropical beach on it. And I was like, huh, well, look at that. You know, obviously the wish came true. And I look at the picture, and I thought, this looks awfully familiar. And I got on my computer, and I found that picture on the computer, and looked up that picture. That was a photograph of the Boquerón Beach right behind my house. Like, 5 minutes walk. You've been here, Shelley. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Of all the pictures in the world that could have come up of tropical beaches, unbeknownst to me, I put a picture of the exact spot on planet Earth where I would end up. That is how precisely that my wish came true. And this is not just unique to me. I know stories about other people who have had similar types of situations occur using this kind of or similar techniques. Now, if that doesn't prove to you the power of these types of tools and the power of what the mind can do when directed and focused properly, I don't know what will. And, Shelley, I mean, have I ever told you that story before? Because I know we've talked a lot about wishes and magic. You've never heard that, have you?
I have never heard that story before, but I'm not surprised at all by it. Because I have heard other stories about the wishing machine, and I have seen it play out in all of our lives. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. And the specificity of where you ended up, that also doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's amazing. At some point, I need to sit down and just give everybody a big update on testimonials that have come in and how people have been helped. But if you want to learn more about this, it's very simple. I produced a free video. It's 10 minutes long. Just go to joshuapwarren.com, and you'll see the video posted there at the top of the page. Just watch the video, and you'll understand more about how these things work. It is a magical thing. You know, some people call it techno-shamanism. But hey, let's get into some weird news, okay? Because speaking of magic, here's a story about something satanic that happened at Harvard. Harvard just days ago held a black mass, a satanic black mass. And they say, you know, the idea of Ivy League students being in league with the devil is usually the stuff of B-movies. But in this case, it looks like there may be something to it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about that and what officers discovered in a coffin in Florida. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. Brought to you by Rott's Coin Shop. This is Speaking of Strange.
Feel. Senses real, fatal attraction, holding me fast.
spring is here. Life is Skittles and life is beer. I think the loveliest time of the year is the spring. I do. Don't you? Of course you do. But there's one thing that makes spring complete for me, and makes every Sunday a treat for me. All the world seems in tune on a spring afternoon when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. Every Sunday you'll see my sweetheart and me as we poison the pigeons in the park. When they see us coming, the birdies all try and hide, but they still go for peanuts when coated with cyanide. The sun's shining bright, everything seems all right when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We've gained notoriety and caused much anxiety in the Audubon Society with our games. They call it impiety and lack of propriety and quite a variety of unpleasant names. But it's not against any religion to want to dispose of a pigeon. Why don't you come with me and we'll poison the pigeons in the park? And maybe we'll do in a squirrel or two while we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We'll murder them all amid laughter and merriment, except for the few we take home to experiment. My pulse will be quickening with each drop of strychnine we feed to a pigeon. It just takes a smidgen to poison a pigeon in the park.
Ah, yes, one of our
spring
tunes here on Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And you can call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. I am Joshua P. Warren, and as some of you may or may not know, I actually did a whole documentary about the Church of Satan. And, you know, I've always been interested in ideas of spiritualism and magic and the good side and the dark side and whatever else might be out there. And I wondered if people can actually produce paranormal results by engaging in black rituals, so to speak. And if you want to see what I discovered, well, you'll just have to watch my documentary called Inside the Church of Satan. But here's the story from Harvard. Harvard had a satanic black mass. Now, Shelley Wright, do you know what a black mass really is?
I'm thinking that it's it's a ritual, a big ritual, and you call forth dark things to do your bidding.
Yeah, and well, you know, I've never seen a black mass, but it's my understanding that basically, it's sort of a parody of a Catholic Christian mass, and which I, you know, those are very elaborate, complex things as well. So I'm not sure all that goes into even doing that. Anyway. So it says here though. As you can imagine, religious groups were freaking out about this. It even prompted the Archdiocese of Boston to issue a statement asking Harvard to shut down the event. It was performed by the Satanic Temple, a group that has gained quite a bit of notoriety over the last few years for publicly endorsing the Florida governor, as well as performing a sexual pink mass over the grave of dead Westboro Baptist Church members in order to posthumously turn them gay. And it says here they even created an official satanic monument for the lawn of the Oklahoma Capitol building. So obviously these guys are into publicity stunts, it sounds like. It says here, quote, to us, the black mass is an amalgamation that developed through time based on witch hunting fears and later adopted by some as a declaration of personal independence against what they felt to be stifling authority of the church, end quote. You know, this, the timing of all this is very interesting because I was just telling you guys earlier in the program, I just returned from Salem, Massachusetts. And of course, Salem, Massachusetts is famous for the witch hunts. Well, I guess you'd call it that, you know, the witch hunt, if you will, that took place there. And all of the innocent people who died, which we'll talk a little bit more about next hour. And then here's this story about Harvard, which is in Massachusetts. And it's involving the idea that, you know, witch hunting has inspired this black mass. So, what does that tell you? I don't know. But I would imagine that it's one of those stories that makes you wonder, like, how seriously do they take it? You know, is this just publicity stuff? I don't really know. But we have been very well aware of all the weird things happening in Florida for a long time. And here is a Florida story. Forrest, do you want to do the honors?
I'll get you in just a second.
He's clamoring for the bell, which, is, if you've never listened to the show before, we tend to have a lot of Florida stories, so there you go. We ring a bell to indicate that it's a Florida story. This is from the Sheriff's Office of DeLeon Springs. Says police there discovered a coffin full of strange weapons. If you happen to be missing an enormous stockpile of medieval weaponry, then today might be your lucky day. Police there are conducting an investigation after this coffin was found just outside the town of DeLeon Springs. That's like Ponce de Leon. The deputy who made the discovery did not observe any indication of foul play, and the owner of the coffin remains a mystery. Given the weapons discovered, it would appear that the person was preparing for some sort of post-apocalyptic wilderness. The coffin had the words "Zombie Apocalypse" written on it, and it contained the following items: a black crossbow, a black ball and chain, a set of nunchucks, a metal pair of forceps, a ball with metal spikes, black leather pouch, double-sided axe with handle, baseball bat with numerous screws attached, scissors, wooden handle with attached metal hook, wooden handle with attached metal knife, plastic tube with black handles, wide black metal hook, black folding knife, silver baseball bat, small wooden handle with attached knife, black metal crowbar, black metal hooks, black sword sheath, silver metal chain, black handle with attached long knife, black stick with attached chain, two wooden metal hatchets, a black fire poker, a black metal crossbow. I guess they meant to write crossbow. They wrote crawlbow, but anyway. A pair of blacksmith pliers, silver metal sword blade with missing hand grip, wooden blocking stick, metal hammer, and a long sword. That's a heck of a coffin, isn't it?
And all of that fit in one little old coffin?
Yeah, it's like a clown car, right?
Yeah.
They say, despite the bizarre collection, a recent incident report listed the case as closed because it's not illegal to own any of these things in Florida. But what they don't explain in this story is precisely how the coffin was found. I mean, what did this just appear on the sidewalk one day? I don't know. You know, and that's the thing. On this show, sometimes we read these stories and we don't have the answers. You know, these are mysteries. These are weird things, and we can't explain what's going on there. It could be just some kind of a prank. It could be some publicity stunt, or it could be some crazy person has gone out of their way to prepare for zombies. Or maybe it's not a crazy person. Maybe it's a person who knows something that we don't know but need to know. But how about this? This is from Collier County, Florida. Says here, police believe a ring of ninjas in fedora hats may be responsible for at least one Florida robbery and possibly a lot more. Now, let me pause here for a second. Ninjas don't wear fedoras usually. You've seen the movies, so I don't know why these are classified as ninjas, because I'm imagining they must have a mask, but when you put the fedora on, you kind of break out of the ninja classification, in my opinion.
Like an Italian ninja.
So it says here there have been at least 6 robberies in Collier County there in southwest Florida in the last 3 months that police say follow a similar M.O. Says on one occasion a couple had just pulled into their driveway when they were greeted by 3 armed robbers in ninja outfits wearing a fedora who dropped out of the trees from nowhere on them. Says, quote, they confronted us in the garage as we got out of the car, end quote. The 2 were brought inside their mansion and tied up while the robbers ransacked the home. The guy says, quote, I have insurance, so they demanded everything in sight, so I gave them everything. I gave them my watch, my wallet, everything they asked for, even opened the safe if they promised if I did so, we would in no way be harmed, end quote. The ninja robbers also stole the couple's car, which was later discovered a short distance away with not so much as 1 fingerprint to be recovered. So, ninjas and fedoras. This is some kind of Floridian phenomenon, I guess, and something else to add to your list of things to be scared of. We're coming up on break time, and when we return, how does this catch some of you? Monsanto is apparently planning to make not just marijuana, super pot, they call it. Super pot. I'll explain what that means when we come back, and also why that a mailman is in a lot of trouble in Dawson Springs, Kentucky. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop.
You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. They only come a town about twice.
Tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. And coming up next hour, well, you know, sometimes when I travel a lot, this show becomes almost like a little travel log where I just tell you a few stories about some of the places that I went to and things that I experienced. And I'm going to bounce around a little bit and tell you about the trip that I went on since we did our last show. Because I went first all the way up to upstate New York. You know, mind you, I left from Puerto Rico. I went all the way up to upstate New York. And then I went from New York down through Salem and Boston. I actually went through Philadelphia as well, but I didn't get to spend any time there. I did a ghost investigation. I saw some really interesting stuff, and we're going to talk about all that. We're going to talk about witch hunting, and we're going to talk about very, very old things in America. If that's of interest to you, if you're a historian type, if you like these types of, revolutionary war-oriented things, I'll just kind of tell you a little bit about, my trip. So here in the last minutes of hour number one, I mentioned before the break, new rules in Uruguay have created a legal marijuana market, and the giant corporation Monsanto plans to launch production of genetically modified marijuana. And companies such as Drug Policy Alliance and Open Society Foundation are going to create a brand which will be produced as cannabis under some information portal 21. Anyway, now mind you, this is all from a website called naturalculturesnotmedicine.com. The companies are funded by Monsanto and will be responsible for market development of transgenic seeds of marijuana that could be 10 times stronger than organic marijuana. You know, when I read stories like this, honestly, I don't know if this is true or not, but it seems like a big company like Monsanto would be taking quite a risk if they actually were to start creating marijuana that's 10 times more powerful. It seems like a public relations disaster. So if this story is true, I would say that's probably not a good idea. But they say here, Uruguay is the first country in the world to officially legalize the production and sale of marijuana. But they say, it's going to make a lot of money. A lot of funding will come in. Personally, I don't have a problem with an open marijuana market. I think that it's no different than any other controlled substance. Here's a strange story I want to share with you before we go to our next break. This is from Dawson Springs, Kentucky. And if you've had problems with the mailman, so to speak, over the years, this will give you a little insight into what may be happening. A former United States Postal Service mailman was sentenced to 6 months in prison. This is just days ago. After he stashed, destroyed, and delayed more than 44,900 pieces of mail over 2 years. Most of the letters that the 34-year-old man hid were kept in his dead mother's home or a rented storage facility in Dawson Springs, Kentucky, according to their newspaper there, the Courier Journal. Why did he do this? The city police captain said, quote, he wanted to speed up his route. He wanted to make sure that he could be back home before lunch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why not just quit it and find another job?
Yeah, that would have been a nice alternative. Says here, quote, I think he was lazy. Yeah. The guy admitted he also destroyed at least 1,000 pieces of mail between March 2011 and March 30th, 2013.
Felony.
They say, fortunately, only a few of the 250 customers on his route were financially affected. But whenever I read stories like this, it reminds me, years ago, I was listening to the radio. I think it was like NPR or something, and they were reading short stories, and somebody had written a short story about a mailman who went off the deep end and decided to start hiding people's letters, and the whole story was about all the relationships that crumbled and all the things that fell apart in people's lives because of the importance of the messenger and the message not getting there. So I'm glad. It doesn't sound like anybody was too devastated, but certainly could have been. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. Witchcraft, the Revolutionary War, the French and Indian War, paranormal investigation. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.